Father God, thank you so much for your word and for its power and authority. We pray, Lord God, that this evening you would teach us new and exciting things from your word, that you would re-energize us, refresh us, remind us of who we are in you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that you use weak vessels, and I pray that this evening you would guide my words and you would speak truth into our hearts, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, great. Well, this image is one that we've seen quite a lot recently, isn't it? And it's one that we'll see lots more of in the year ahead as we head into, as a church, our 175th year. And in that, we're talking a lot about this catchphrase, building the church. And on one side, there's a really practical element to that, isn't there? Like, practically, we are preparing for an extension as a church building. You can see the plans for that at the back of the church. But actually, building the church means much more than that, isn't it? Because a church is much more than just bricks and mortar, but it is a body of believers. And so that's what I wanted to talk about this evening. I wanted to talk about building the body of Christ. And we're going to look through the lens of 1 Corinthians 12 for that. But the thing we're saying, the body of Christ, is it can be a bit of a Christian jargon word, can't it? It's kind of a phrase that we like to throw around. You know, we say a lot of things like, you know, the church is the body of Christ, or we are the body. And we just kind of say it and we fling it out. But I think often we don't actually think about what we actually mean when we say it. Or we don't think about what that actually looks like. And I think that actually, it can sound a bit weird. It can sound a bit creepy saying, like, we are the body. And it makes me think, okay, that, by the way, just so you know, I am very geeky. And most of tonight's kind of images are geeky references. So I hope they don't go completely over everyone's head. But when I think of things like phrases like, we are the body, it makes me think of the Borg, okay? So I don't know if you guys remember the Borg, but the Borg were an alien race from Star Trek. And they were just this big, one, collective mind. They would come and would assimilate you into their body, so that when you became it, you lost all individuality, all personality, and you just became one of the Borg. And I think sometimes when we think about becoming one with the body of Christ, it can sound a bit like that, kind of. It can sound like we're just joining into this faceless organization, becoming one with Christ. But I want to say today that it's not like that at all. It's not like the Borg, okay? It's completely different. But what is it like? What is it like? And that's what we're going to look at today. So the first point that I wanted to say is that being part of the body of Christ means that we are united together. So we're going to look at the first few verses of the passage today. So it says in verse 12 to 14, it says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So do you see how this works? There is one body with many parts. And we are united through baptism by the Spirit into Christ. Okay, and we saw this in the Romans 6 passage, that when we become Christians, we are baptized by the Spirit into Christ. And we are baptized into his death, and we are baptized into his resurrection. So on some really profound level that blows my mind, that I just can't quite understand, we were there with Christ when he died on the cross. We were there with him when he rose again. We have been united with him in his flesh. You know, that is how it is that we can stand before God on judgment day, because Jesus Christ has taken our punishment. We were there. Our punishment has been dealt with. So on some really strange, profound level, we are one with Christ. We are united with his body. You know, Romans talks about how we are born out of Adam. We are born out of Adam. We are all descended from Adam and Eve. But we are born out of that line, and we are reborn. We are born again into Christ. So in a really strange, profound, amazing way, we are part of his body. We have all united with him in that way. And I really wish that I could really just delve into that a lot more, because there's a lot there that we can talk about. Unfortunately, I don't have time to really go into that. But check it out. Check out Romans. Check out Romans 6. It's amazing to think about. But the point is that we are united together through this. If we are all united with Christ, that means, therefore, logically, we are united with each other. And notice how it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate ethnicity and social status. Those things don't matter. It says whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. So we are all united together through Christ. And actually, we are united together whether we like it or not. Whether we choose that or not, we are. You know, if you think about it, if as Christians we are united with Christ, we are united with each other. You know, what God has brought together, we cannot separate. You know, we see it so clearly in today's passage. So verses 14 to 16 say, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body." So we cannot separate ourselves from the body of Christ. We cannot claim ourselves to be not worth it. We can't claim ourselves to be on a separate league to other people. And similarly from that, we cannot separate others. You know, verse 21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" There is no separation. We cannot. We are all equally valuable in Christ. We are united together. You cannot dismember Christ's body. You cannot separate Christ's body from itself. You know, even though sometimes we try to, say, actually, you are not one with me. You are not one with me. But the fact is we are united. Fact. You know, sometimes we don't live like that. Sometimes it doesn't look like that. We squabble over petty things. We fight over petty things. But if we have been united in Christ, if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we have been baptized by his Spirit, then we are one. We are united together. You know, are we striving to realize that? Are we striving to understand the reality of the unity that we have in Christ? Do we as a church, do we as individuals model this unity that we already have in Christ? Are we living this out? Are we striving to realize this in practical terms? So being the body of Christ means that we are all united together in Christ, whether we like it or not. But it also means that we look out for each other. So because we are all equally valuable in Christ, we all matter just as much. And it doesn't matter what other people think. So it says, verse 22 to 23, it says, "On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty." So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what outsiders think. We are all just as valuable. We all matter just as much. You know, there is not anyone within the body of Christ that is worth less. There is no one that is worth less or worth more than others. Because in Christ we are one. There is no division. There is no sense of hierarchy of better Christians or worse Christians. You know, we were all once just as wretched as each other. And we are all now just as redeemed as each other. So, therefore, we look after each other. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. When one part suffers, the whole part suffers with it. You know, so if you think of it in terms of a body, it's true, isn't it? When one part of us suffers, the whole body seems to suffer with it, even if it's the smallest part. So like for me, you know, just the tiniest part, like the wisdom tooth. When my wisdom tooth is trying to break out, it hurts and it gives me a headache and it makes me drowsy and grumpy and it affects all of me. And it's amazing how just this tiny part of us can affect everything. You know, it's the same in the body of Christ. You know, we are all one. So it says here, "While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." Because we are one, because we are united together, working for the same purpose, we are working for the purpose of God's glory. You know, if we are the body of Christ, then what happens with us directly glorifies God. So if there is a part of the body that is suffering and the rest is turning a blind eye, that is not glorifying the body of Christ. So we have a responsibility to look out for each other, to be there for each other when they are suffering, but also to rejoice with each other when we are rejoicing. You know, what is your main concern? Is your main concern honoring yourself, or is your main concern honoring the body of Christ? So, being part of the body of Christ means that we are united together. It means that we look out for each other. But it also means that we work together. So verses 27 to 30 say, "Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak tongues? Do all interpret?" So do you see how it works? There are a variety of giftings, and we all have our own to use together to honor each other and to glorify God. So we all have our individual giftings. We don't have to strive to do everything. We don't have to strive to do what the other person is doing. But we strive to glorify and honor God together. Okay, and I'm not going to go into the specifics, like the specific layout of all the giftings mentioned here. But the point that I want to drive through is that there is unity within the body. There's unity within the body, but there is also diversity and individuality. So we are all unique within the body. We all serve our own purpose, using our giftings for the glory of God. So it is not like the Borg, where they just all become assimilated into the same thing. But it is more like something else. And this is, okay, this is my next really geeky reference, okay? And, you know, just go with me, okay? So it is, we are not so much like the Borg, but on one level, I like to think that as the body of Christ, we are more like the Megazord, okay? So, if you don't know what that is, okay, so the Megazord featured in Power Rangers. I don't know if any of you watched Power Rangers as a kid. I did sometimes. But essentially, how the Power Rangers worked is they fought the kind of the bad guy, the big old monster, and then things would start going badly. So they get out all their big kind of vehicles, and that would be a bit better, but it still wouldn't work. And then what they would do is they would combine all their different vehicles into the one body, which became the Megazord, which then just completely just destroyed the enemy and was just amazing. And I think that as the body of Christ, we're a bit like a super awesome Megazord, because we are all different parts of the same body. When we come together, we are amazing. When we come together, we can do awesome, incredible things for God's glory. We are not designed to operate as ourselves, by ourselves. You know, I think sometimes we just try to live our lives like a separate limb, like a hand trying to do everything by itself. But that's not how we're designed. We're designed to come together, to be awesome together, just like the Megazord. So what are your giftings? How are you going to use these giftings? How are you going to grow these giftings? How are you striving to build up the body of Christ through the giftings that God has given you? And if you're sat here thinking, "I don't have any giftings, I don't have anything," then I want to tell you that's first of all wrong. You have amazing giftings that God has given you. But I think sometimes with ourselves, we have blind spots of our own giftings. If that's you, if you're really struggling to think, then why don't you grab someone that knows you really well and say, "Hey, what do you think God has given me as a gifting?" And, you know, I'm pretty confident that your friends will be able to say, "Hey, actually, you might not realize this, but you are really good at doing this. You are really good at encouraging me. That one time when I was really down, you came along and you encouraged me and you lifted me up and you built me up. You may not have thought it was a big deal, but for me, it was massive." You know, so you might not realize some of the amazing things that you are already doing or the amazing giftings that you have, but I assure you that God has given you something. God has given you a gifting that he wants you to grow. He wants you to develop for his kingdom and for his glory. So how are we doing that? How are we striving to pursue our own giftings? But it's not just about our own giftings as individuals. It's also about encouraging and empowering each other in our giftings as well. You know, we work together as a body, helping each other to help each other and to bring glory to God by honoring the body of Christ, by honoring each other, building each other up, and by honoring God. You know, and this is what we want to be about as a church. We want to be about equipping and empowering each other in our giftings for our ministries. You know, we are a church full of amazingly, wonderfully gifted people. And we can do such great things for God's kingdom through the power of Christ, through his Holy Spirit. There are so many amazing things that we can do together. You know, and I'm not just talking about empowerment from the kind of the top down, like the leadership team just kind of empowering everyone from the top down. You know, that, like we said, there is no hierarchy within the body of Christ. And you know, us as leaders, I think you all know that we are not perfect. You know, we have our flaws. I'm sure that you all know that very well. And I know from my personal experience, I know that this first year of my student ministry, I do not think that I could have done it without certain people, a number of people within the congregation that have been there to encourage me, to lift me up, to build me up, to challenge me. You know, there are so many wonderful, amazing people. But there is also a part of me that can't help but feel like we could take advantage of each other so much more. And we could do more to build each other up, to raise each other up. Like, I think about the people that have encouraged me and lifted me up, and I think, oh, I just wish that more people knew how amazing that person was. I wish more people knew what was going on in each other's lives. I think that we don't always take advantage of each other. Like I said, sometimes we try and operate as kind of separate limbs, trying to desperately strive to do it by ourselves. But it can't work that way. It's not supposed to work that way. That's not how we were designed. That's not how we were designed to function as a body of Christ. So being part of the body of Christ means that we are united together, whether we like it or not. It means that we look out for each other, and it means that we work together. You know, is that how it looks like here? Is that how it looks like at Christchurch? Is that how it looks like in England? Is that how it looks like in our lives? Is that our experience? You know, what are we trying to do to strive to realize the unity that we already have in Christ? What are we doing to build up each other and therefore through that build up Christ, build up his body? What are we doing to support each other, to run together, to fight together, to serve together, to strive together? You know, what are we doing together? And what I really want is I want us to, together as a church and as a body, to kind of think about this kind of long term. Like, I have to admit, I'm not entirely sure I know how that's going to look, what that's going to look like. But I know that there is something amazing for us if we come together and fight together even more than we already are doing. You know, but to help us get there, I thought it would be cool if we could all think of just one person in our lives or here at Christchurch, that you can think of just a small way of encouraging them this week. And it could be just something small. It could be just going alongside them and saying, hey, I think you're great. Like, I've seen something that you've been doing, and I want to encourage you in that, and I want to say that's a great thing that you're doing there. Or it could be that you want to go up to someone and say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I think you're really gifted at this thing, and I want to encourage you in that. Or it could be, you know, you just want to come alongside someone. You just want to build someone up, just say something or do something that makes them feel built up in Christ. And it could be you want to challenge them. It could be you want to say, hey, I think that in some ways you're distracting yourself, or I think these things are stopping you from realizing your potential in Christ, gently and lovingly. But I want us to think about that. I want us to think about how can we as a body do more to realize what we've been talking about today, to realize what it looks like to live and serve each other as the body of Christ, not as a collection of random limbs kind of limping around, trying to do things in our own strength. So why don't we pray about that now and pray together. Yeah. Lord God, thank you so much that you have united us in Christ. Thank you so much for the amazing, profound truth of what that is, to be one with Christ, to be united together in Christ. Lord God, we just love you so much for that, for bringing us together in you, for giving this amazing unity in Christ that we have with him. I pray, Lord God, that you would build us up as a church, that you would build us up as a body, and you build us up as Christians in this place at this time. Help us as we move forward together, to come together, to know each other more deeply, to build each other up, to show each other that you are good, and to encourage each other as we move forward together. Lord God, we know that you are amazing, and we know that you have so much for us as a church, and you have such exciting, wonderful plans for us as a church. I pray, Lord God, that ultimately you would just make us obedient as we step into that, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit working in us and working through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.